This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Hey everybody, it is 6:07 and this is Inside Story with Lee Chui Lin and Sharmila Ganesan. Tonight, balancing heritage and development in the case of Convent Bukit Nanas.
So first we'll be catching up on the facts of the situation and looking back on other institutions and historical buildings that haven't fared so well over the years.
And then in the second half of the show, we'll be hearing from Convent Bukit Nanas alumni Lau Ngai Yuen about her fond memories of the school.
And finally, we'll be closing off with an overview of how Malaysia is trying to balance heritage and development. So let us know what you think. Is it important to safeguard our heritage buildings? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story.
It is 6:08 and this is, of course, Insight Story. As promised, tonight we are focusing on the situation surrounding Convent Bukit Nanas, which has raised a variety of issues, I think, about how it is that we value our historical buildings, how we value heritage, especially in the heart of KL, where land is at such a premium, and what it means for a building to be gazetted, right? Mm-hmm. And so this might not sound, when I say gazettement and land lease, I don't think it's the sexiest of topics, but really, if we look at the broader implications, it's really about what kind of KL we want and what kinds of buildings we think, what kinds of places we think represent Kuala Lumpur. So this focuses on the issue of the extension of the land lease for Convent Bukit Nanas.
Yes, and You mentioned it's not particularly exciting when you say we're talking about those things. But if you look at the kind of emotion that has swirled around this announcement and this issue over the last couple of days, I think it becomes very apparent why people hold spaces and the way the city looks and buildings with so much attachment, right? Because it says a lot about who we are, where we came from, and our past. So when it comes to Convent Bukit Nanas, what happened was that the land lease is due to expire this September. And back in October 2017, CBN wrote to the land office to seek an extension of that land lease. They were told that they are not going to be extending the land lease. This happened in January. And what that essentially means is that it will be... The school will essentially revert to being under the government, and it will be gazetted as a fully aided government school. Now, this doesn't mean that it's going to be gazetted as a heritage building. It just means that the government will then get to decide what happens with the land and with the building. So the latest from the Federal Territories Land and Mines Office is that the school is not going to be demolished when the lease expires. However, that doesn't necessarily mean that it will be a protected building.
Yeah, so the response from the government and the response from NGOs or from associations and institutions interested in heritage have actually been wildly different. So if we look at what the Federal Territories Land and Mines Office Director, Muhammad Yasir, said, they said that the intention here is to help preserve and fund the school, because previously Convent Bukit Nanas was only partially aided. So it's going to benefit if it's a fully aided government institution, and that the land the school is on will not be redeveloped when the lease expires, and that the school board can in fact continue operating the school, but they will have to appeal to the Federal Land Commissioner who owns the lease. So that at least is what the government has said their intentions are. And that's all well and good. But the issue does remain that as long as it is not protected, you can say that. But once the lease expires, it's a little bit like all bets are off, right? And I say this knowing or looking back at some of the other buildings that we've seen change, we've seen get demolished, we've seen redeveloped over the years. Again, because of their particular position. So we are talking about Kuala Lumpur. Mm-hmm. We are talking about a space in which is so rapidly being developed that there isn't exactly a lot of fresh land to be discovered. Nobody's out there, you know, prospecting and saying, oh, hey, I found a new part of KL that we can call Damansara. You know, no, nobody is doing that at the moment.
I am fully a KL person. I'm a convent girl, so I really understand where this is coming from. I saw BBGS get demolished and be replaced by a mall. St. Mary's has also now is no longer the old building. So I can see why there's a lot of concern over what this might mean. If not in the short term, what about the long term, right? And CBN was established in 1899. It's one of the oldest schools in the country. It's 122 years old. And the land that it stands on, it was bought by the nuns of the Sisters of the Holy Infant Jesus with contributions from the public. So it has a long history and a very varied and illustrious history in KL and in Malaysia. And this is why organizations like the Badan Warisan Malaysia has urged authorities, including our Heritage Department, to explicitly protect CBN. So they've even started an online petition. A lot of former students have since come out to release statements, to put up posts and to urge to urge the authorities to preserve the building. And this includes even people like former Minister Tan Sri Rafida Aziz, who's also CBN alumni, actress Vanida Imran. So a lot of hue and cry going on, and I think for very justified reasons.
Yeah, so that's why today we are focusing on this issue of heritage versus development and whether we are actually striking the balance we hope or not so much. Let us know what you think, particularly if you attended Convent Bukit Nanas and you'd like to share your thoughts, but also just in general. Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we will be speaking with Datin Noraida Saludin, President of the Malaysian Institute of Planners. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:16 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. Today, our focus is on heritage versus development and why it is that continues to be the case, why we have to have a versus as opposed to just an and. But I suppose recent cases has created a sense of disquiet and discomfort, particularly when it comes to institutions, historical buildings in our city. The latest being, of course, the worries around Convent Bukit Nanas and the fact that it is not as yet a protected building. So we want to know what you think. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We are now crossing over to Datin Noraida Saludin, President of the Malaysian Institute of Planners, to just get up to date, really, on where the situation stands and look at other examples from the past. Datin Noraida, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for inviting me.
So to start off, could you briefly explain the situation being faced by Convent Bukit Nanas?
The way I understand, and after reading the yesterday's statement from the minister, of Federal Treasury, Tan Sri Anwar Musa, with regards to the holdings of the land. The land is, part of the land is currently on a leasehold term, which means the term has expired, the 60 years term has expired. And we understand that it will expire this coming September. And an application was submitted by the school's management or which is the Lady Superior of the Society of St. Mawar to seek for an extension of the lease. However, after reading the statement from the minister, Tan Sri Town Planner Haji Anwar Musa, the federal, the Wilayah Persekutuan Land Committee have already actually made decision that it's quite technical because it's a bit complicated in terms of land ownership. Normally, school land for usage of school or any other public amenities, the land belongs to the government. And it is in KL, it is the land is given to be under the guardianship of Federal Land Commissioner, and they will be quite specific in terms of saying what is the land for, whether it's education, it's police station, or it's all other amenities. However, for the Convent Bukit Nanas case, I think historically It's on a lease arrangement, and when the lease expires, they have to seek for an extension of the lease, and that's where the federal or the jawatan kuasa tanah kerja tanah wilayah persekutuan, when they submitted for an extension, rejected the extension. However, the rejection was not actually an outright rejection, because under the land process, you have to give back the land, and then you have to, they will then give, you have to resurrected the land, and then a new arrangement or a new title will be given out, a new in terms of whether it's freehold or it's leasehold. So when I read the statement from the minister, what has happened was a decision has been made that the government, they have in a meeting of Jawatan Kuasa Kerja Tanah Wilayah Persekutuan Kuala Lumpur that was held on 13 November 2020, they have actually endorsed for the land to be given to the Federal Land Commissioner, and then we alienate that back for the use of, for the purpose of a school. So it's a normal process in terms of when it comes to government land and the usage for amenities. So I guess in terms of the status of the land, it's not a question anymore, the way I understand it from the, that particular statement. And when we look at the, when we refer to the gazetted local plan for the city of Kuala Lumpur, the land has also been zoned for education. In terms of the provision under Town and Country Planning Act, whether the land can be converted for any other uses, it has already been zoned and identified as for school. So looking at that, I would say that as far as if everything follows the gazetted plan and the land process follows through after it's been granted permission, it will remain at school. The question now, I think, is why is the building, why are the buildings not gazetted as heritage? I think that's the question.
And actually, on that note, right, I was wondering, you know, could you make a case for why Convent Bukit Nenas should be protected as a heritage site? What makes that building significant? Because if we look at something like St. John's, which is nearby, that's been gazetted as a national heritage site.
Mm-hmm, 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 yes. I'm not quite sure, but when you want to gazette a building to become a heritage building, under the National Heritage Act 2005, the Act 645, the Heritage Commissioner will have to, before gazettement, there's a due process that has to go through. And that process, it will involve, for example, first, they have to notify the building owner. And in this case, the building owner is the school. And the school is actually under the management of this the custodian of the religious school arrangement, like St. John's, Convent Bukit Nenas, right? So if I'm not mistaken, there was an attempt to put the school under the heritage. However, it was somehow objected by the owner, by the building owner. Yeah, we're not talking about the land, but we're talking about the building owner, which in this case is the school, and it was objected some time ago. And because of that, it cannot go through the process of gazetting it as a heritage building.
What do
so
we stand
due to? Process has that due process has gone through some time way back. Few years ago, I'm not quite sure when, but it did went through that sort of process.
And potentially, what would we stand to lose if the area does get developed?
The areas, the school together with St. John's and the surrounding is on the foothill of on the edge of foothill of the Bukit Nenas Forest Reserve. And the whole area is sort of merits, to me personally, I think merits conservation, Bukit Nenas, Forest Reserve, and all other colonial buildings around the area. And besides being the, one of the oldest important school in Kuala Lumpur, the whole area is sort of, the importance is not just heritage or not just the importance of the school as education, but also the area being one of the last remaining green lungs that you probably we probably have in KL. So it's not just the individual buildings or it's not just the Bukit Nenas, but it's the whole compound that makes up the whole characteristic of the area. And it's I think it's pretty important to preserve the buildings and the school because of its long history being one of the most prominent schools in KL together with St. John's. We lost out some of the early the other schools earlier in the past, for example, St. Mary. But I think this is probably the last remaining, the last few remaining school of that nature that had its share of history in the education scene in Kuala Lumpur.
Datin Nuraida, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much.
That was Datin Nuraida Saluddin, president of the Malaysian Institute of Planners, explaining to us the circumstances surrounding Convent Bukit Nenas and all the conversations that are going on at the moment about why it has not yet been protected as a heritage site. We want to know what you think, especially in terms of how we're balancing heritage and development in our country. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at PFM Radio, and we have some messages.
Yes, so Rose says, any city in the world can build the biggest mall, the gaudiest seven-star hotel, or an office tower where the sky is not the limit. But who can go back in time and handcraft our history and architecture that is dictated by the cultures and the conquerors of the past?
Yeah, I think that that's exactly it, isn't it? I mean, developing and moving forward is always possible. We've seen it happen time and time again. But it is true that something that is lost is never going to be brought back, no matter how much we have documented it. It's really not the same as having it as part of our actual landscape. We do also have, however, we have other messages, but I did want to read one that was contrasting because I think it presents an interesting argument. Josan says, should demolish colonial buildings and develop it with PPR flats for the B40.
Now, I am always in support for more affordable housing for the B40 community, but I don't think it needs to be an either or. I think there are ways with proper city planning to be able to have both, to both develop our heritage and honor our heritage while also creating spaces for those who need it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think that potentially colonial buildings still have value beyond the purely sentimental. You know, they can also be tourism sites. They can also still generate revenue. But you're absolutely right in that I think that whenever it is that we talk about something like colonial buildings and their preservation, this issue of money comes up. And then that's, I think, where something like PPR flats enters the picture, because it seems to be, it appears to be a question of priority.
Well, I wanted to say that it's still a school. It's not a dead space also.
No, it's not. It is still providing an extremely important national service. Let us know what you think, especially when it comes to heritage versus development. We're talking about this because of Convent Bukit Nenas. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:38 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. The story that we are taking a closer look at today is Convent Bukit Nenas and redevelopment, or the fears of redevelopment. So just to reiterate, this is coming up because essentially the land lease for Convent Bukit Nenas is going to be expiring in September. And after that, the government has said, well, the land that it sits on will essentially revert to the government, and it can be gazetted as a fully aided government school. And this has opened up a bunch of questions, for example, whether or not that's even desirable from the point of view of the school. And on a larger level, what are we actually doing about our institutions, our historical institutions, the places that for the longest time have defined Kuala Lumpur pre-KLCC, right? Pre the glitzy buildings. And we've been asking you for your thoughts. We are about, very shortly, to speak with someone who is actually an alumni of Convent Bukit Nanas, Lau Ngai Yuen, who's the president of Kaki Seni. Before that, though, just a few questions because we've been asking you for your thoughts.
Yes. So we have Rosalind who says, so difficult to trust the officials. Remember the beautiful Le Coq d'Or mansion where the BSN headquarters now sits on Jalan Ampang? It was like demolished overnight.
You know, in terms of the sheer contrast of the romance of heritage versus development, you can't. It's hard to beat the Le Coq d'Or mansion and BSN HQ. I think that really kind of says it all.
And I just wanted to very quickly read this one from Maggie, who says, before a patriotic move to rename streets and roads, places and buildings a couple of decades ago, I used to wonder about the stories behind how they were named, their origins and all of those things. And the KL that of now does not evoke those feelings or thoughts anymore. It's just another city. I haven't been to Ipoh for a long time, but I recalled with pleasant surprise to see Hugh Low Street and such colonial names. Now, for monetary reasons, we're doing it all over again. It's also ironic that we travel to foreign countries and pay to listen to the stories behind the place, but we systematically wipe out our own heritage.
Yeah, I do feel that way definitely about the renaming of streets, roads and places, particularly when they are named things that feel very distant from our heritage and history. And I understand to a degree the desire to make a place feel more like your own, right? Perhaps to move somewhat away from the colonial names. But I think that perhaps doesn't acknowledge the ties that we have to our history, good and bad, and how all those stories are part of what makes a place a place.
Absolutely. And I like this idea of stories and learning about them from visiting a place. And it's sad if we couldn't do that in KL anymore.
So how do you feel we're doing in terms of heritage versus development? Particularly if you have memories to share of Convent Bukit Nanas or thoughts in general, we want to hear them. Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So now we're crossing over to Lau Ngai Yuen, president of Kaki Seni, also an alumni of Convent Bukit Nanas. It's the latter bit that we're going to be focusing on this evening. Ngai Yuen, it's good to have you with us.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
It's good to be here too. Well, considering what we're going to be talking about, not so good.
So that maybe covers my first question. I was going to ask, how did you feel hearing the news surrounding your old school?
I think it's really sad because it's really going to take away whatever link that I still have with Kuala Lumpur and how I feel about the city. I have been consistently taking my kids up to show them my school all the time, like every single one of them. I have four, right? And what am I going to do when it's not there anymore? I probably would just say, this used to be where my school was. And that's it. That's the end of my story, right?
I mean, very much a KL school person, and so I completely understand how that feels. I was wondering what your fondest memories of CBN are.
I was the 1995 vice school head captain, so it's like the, you know, assistant school prefect. So every morning it's about the school song, the national anthem, the announcements, and then walking around to every single class to make sure that it's all good, making sure there's no latecomers. So, yeah, I'm going to miss all that. Like, seriously, you never thought that you have to leave it behind. It's always a part of you. But right now, with this taken away, well, we're still hoping that this is not final, right? Oh, that's what I'm thinking. I've lost a school before CBN, I was in St. Mary's. So when St. Mary's was moved to Selayang, it was already, it was in the name of development. And already that was a loss. And so now losing another school,
Well, to be fair, the school hasn't, essentially it's just that the land will revert to the government. They have said that there's no plans to demolish as of yet, but it's also not going to be declared a heritage building anytime soon.
And I'm disappointed with that. I think declaring it as a heritage building is one of the most important things, especially when the school has gone through so much, especially when the school holds so much stories and so many different kinds of people have been through it. It's not just a school that is, you know, about academic, but it's also a school that has got a role. The World War II has got a role in various different parts of our history. Why is that not heritage?
We also have a WhatsApp, actually, from Abby, who says, a fully funded school would mean that CBN would lose their autonomy in certain areas. Preserving the building is just one aspect of it. The institution and its heritage is being actively eroded and undermined. And I was wondering, Ayuan, if you wanted to respond to that.
Personally, I didn't think that... well, we have not really... Because this particular news for us is it was unexpected for our group, and we did not have this conversation about its funding or its the monopolies behind it, etc. But for us, what's really urgent to be looked at is really the balance between preservation of what matters to not just country, a city, but also to people and also to our history, versus what is the intention of taking away all that and the price we're going to be paying for it. I think right now we're all just dealing with the loss of it, or the possibility of the loss.
Any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with, Ngayuan?
Please, let CBN be where it is.
Ngayuan, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
That was Lau Ngayuan, president of Kaki Seni, also an alumni of Convent Bukit Nanas, sharing her thoughts as a former student of the school. And I think just giving an idea of how many former students are feeling. This is definitely something that in all the coverage, in all the conversations, has been coming through extremely strongly. So we want to know if you have memories, if you attended Convent Bukit Nanas, and also if you have thoughts to share about how Malaysia is managing that balance between heritage and development, because this is really just the latest salvo in an ongoing discussion, an ongoing, I hesitate to call it a battle, but sometimes it feels that way. Call us 7332900 with your thoughts. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we are going to be taking a look at the importance of heritage as a whole. Joining us for that will be KB Tiong, President of ICOMOS Malaysia. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:48 and this is Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about the balance between heritage and development, particularly in the heart of Kuala Lumpur, constantly seeing developments popping up. And this has been prompted really by the conversation surrounding Convent Bukit Nanas' land lease, which is going to be coming up in September of this year, after which the land that it sits on will revert to the government. They have said that they're going to continue reserving it for school. It's going to be gazetted as a fully aided government school. But what people are asking is, why isn't it being gazetted as a heritage site instead, considering the place that it holds in our country? So we want to know your thoughts on this, and you can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now we're going to be taking a look at this larger issue of heritage and development and the things that inform it. We're crossing over to KB Tiong, President of ICOMOS Malaysia. KB, thank you so much for speaking with us again.
Thank you, Shamala. Good evening. And thank you for having me.
So firstly, could you tell us why you think Convent Bukit Nanas should be protected as a heritage site? What makes the building significant?
I was thinking about that question. And then my son, who is an educationist, he's reading for, he's in the final throes of his thesis from Cambridge, and he just texted me something, a comment, which I think might reflect on the whole thing. I said something to a friend yesterday, but I think this sums it up very nicely. And it's something to do with EBGS, which happens to be a school affiliated to my church in the past. I say, my son says, still think it was a travesty what they did to BBGS. They built replacement in Churras, but schools don't work in that way. You can't just move it and pretend nothing happened. All that lost cultural capital. I think that sums it up very nicely, and I won't add to it.
Could you talk about the architectural history then? What makes them significant?
I think it's not... The heritage buildings does not need to be architectural gems in themselves. But in this, I think heritage buildings are important as tangible as evidence of our history, of our struggles and our achievements. And behind each brick, each window, is a story of the incredible endeavors of our forefathers. Not necessarily the rich Taukes and the powerful Datuks, but also of the skills of the craftsmen and the sweat of the laborer. And that, to my mind, is important enough for us to remember that these are achievements that has been done in the face of incredible adversity by those who come before us.
So if we take a look around Malaysia, particularly the cities, I think, where are we right now in terms of heritage versus development?
Unfortunately, we are facing increasing competition. There's increasingly a view of heritage being incompatible with development. Whereas I think if a lot of heritage have been sacrificed for short-term gains, not necessarily viable in the long term. All you need to do is look around Kuala Lumpur for a start, and you see how many empty buildings. Not too far away from me in Melaka, just down the road, half a kilometre, 1 kilometre away. And on all those reclaimed land, and that is lost heritage too, because the Melaka has lost its context with the sea. Melaka was a trading port. And full of empty buildings, empty shop house, empty high rises, especially in this in the COVID-19 situation, where the thousands of tourists that are supposed to come to occupy these so called service apartments have not turned up at all. And I think this we have to stop looking at heritage and development as competing ethos. They are compatible. They are not. Heritage is not the antithesis of development. And heritage does not need to be old as well. It even as early even in the 20th century that just passed, have a lot of buildings that have been acknowledged as heritage buildings as well. I think every time you demolish a building, you remove a part of our memory. And we can still preserve that memory if we approach the need to demolish and rebuild successfully and thoughtfully, but not helter-skelter without any thought, thinking we can make a lot of money if we just pull this on and reclaim the land for another high-rise or another testament to our egos.
Now, when we talk about safeguarding heritage buildings, one question that keeps coming up is the issue of maintenance. How can we address this?
I think maintenance is a huge, huge issue, not just of the skills and capacity to do it, but also of the financial side as well. There's always need to be balanced up how much you have to spend on maintenance. But I think at the end of the day, the cost of maintenance have been unnecessarily inflated, mainly because we kept maintenance up to the very end. And then it appears as one huge sum instead of a series of recurrent small amounts. And this is a very huge, huge issue. And there are ways and means of addressing these issues. And if we think through it carefully and incorporate it into our building industry. I think it may even lead to a more sustainable building industry in this country, which incorporate not just building new building stocks, but also maintaining and upgrading existing building stocks. Not necessarily building stocks that are old and classified as heritage buildings, but also building stocks that are built as recent as 10-20 years ago.
You know, a lot of this focuses on the idea of protection and gazettement. Mm. And I wanted to know, what are the prerequisites for a heritage building or site to actually be considered for this?
I think this is a question that's going to take a long time to answer, because there are all sorts of categories of heritage buildings and different levels of heritage value. JWN, Jabatan Warisan Negara, the National Heritage Department, has a very good guidelines and rules and formulated. They are well formulated and implemented properly and with a lot of integrity and from the powers to be. I think that is sufficient in itself. I would really like you to refer to those documents if your listeners are interested. They can actually go online and look at them.
Now, when we talk about this balance between development and heritage preservation, how do you think we can move towards a model that's sustainable?
By consulting all the stakeholders for a start. I mean, this whole CDN thing came about because someone somewhere forgot to talk things through and decided that since I am in authority, I can just and the decision that be made by whatever or whoever, therefore I can just implement it. But there are other aspects of doing things the right way. To me, this is nothing more than a land grab. Okay, the minister has come up with reassuring noises, but I think history has proven to ourselves that at the end of the day, you're not just looking at the mission schools, but look at government schools as well. VI is one example. What is now known as VI is one example. You also have cases like in Malacca not so long ago, I think less than 10 years ago, where the chief minister wanted to demolish my alma mater. And not because the ostensible reason was the traffic jams, the traffic congestion that was caused by the schools, but actually I think it's because it's in the middle of town. The land of a few tens acres are too lucrative to be left to a non-profitable in their sense, in their mind, to their eyes, to their mind, non-profitable used as an education establishment.
KB, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening.
Thank you. Yeah.
That was KB Tiong, President of ICOMOS Malaysia, weighing in on heritage in Malaysia and why it matters, right? And how it is that we can move towards a better model of preservation. You can let us know what you think by calling 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This has been Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.